So in the Sefer Sichot Musar, Ma'amar Gimel, the Ma'amar entitled Tevat Noach, from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Vayhi Noach ben 500 shana, vayoled Noach et Shem et Cham ve et Yafet. Noach was 500 years old when he gave birth to his three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafet. Uba Midrash Amru, and Rashi brings down the midrash that says, "Amar Rabbi Yudan." Rabbi Yudan said, "Matam kol adorot holidu lekuf shana veze letav kuf." The midrash asks a question: why is it that all the other generations, they gave birth when they were 100 in the young age of 100 years old, whereas by Noach it took him 500 years to have his first son? He was 500 years old when Shem and Cham and Yafet were born. The Midrash asks. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midrash tells us, it was by design. Hashem said, Im Reshaim Hem Yovdu Bamayim. If I would let him give birth earlier when he was 100 years old, so then if these children would be wicked, they would go lost anyway in the Mabul. Vera le tzadik ze, and that would be painful for this tzadik, Noach. Ve'im tzadikim hem, and if they would be tzadikim, which means if he would give birth when he was 100, so by the time he's 500, when the Mabul is supposed to come, he would have many, many children. If they were all righteous, atriach alav la'asot tevot tarbe, what am I going to burden Noach to build many tevot, because one teva, one ark is not going to be enough. I don't want to be matriach him. I don't want to burden him. So you know what? Let me hold him back from having children for a few hundred years. Kavash et ma'ayano at tafkuf shana. Kadosh Baruch Hu held Noach back from having children until he was 500. כדי שלא יהיה יפת הגדול שבבניו ראוי לאנשים לפני המבול. יפת was still too young when the Mabul, the time of the Mabul came, was too young to be punished for his sins, so he could still survive, and the same goes for Cham. דכתיב כי הנער בן מאה שנה ימות ראוי לעונש לעתיד, because in those days, just like we say, 20-year-old is chayav already in onashim. So the same thing in those days, 100 years old would be the cutoff. That would be the age, the minimum age required to be responsible and to be punishable. That's how it was before Matan Torah. So the idea that the Midrash is saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason why he held back Noach from having children until he was 500 years old, which was different from the earlier generations, is that for a practical reason. If the children would be wicked, they would all have to die in the Mabul. That would be too much pain for the Tzadik Noach. If they would all be Tzadikim, you'd have to build many more Tevot. I don't want to be Matriachim. I don't want to burden him to build so many Tevot. Therefore, let me hold him back. He'll have only three children when he's 500. And all is good. Very interesting midrash. Yesh kan makom rav leitbonenut, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. There is a lot to think about here and to analyze in this midrash. Maya kavana betam ze. What's the reasoning behind this explanation? Sheim tzadikim hem, if they were to be tzadikim, atriach alav la'asot tevot arbe. I would have to burden him to make many tevot. Let's think about this for a moment. What is it so hard to ask from a father to burden himself for his children? A father, all his work, all his labor is dedicated for his children. Any father would rejoice to do any kind of labor for the purpose of saving the lives of his children. That's not a tilcha. That's a labor of love for the father. Ubemeshech zman shel kufchav shana. Now, in addition, he'd have to build many tevot. In the duration of 120 years, which we know that's how long it took him to, you know, to build a tevot. Efshar haya laspik livnot kama vekama tevot. He could have built numerous tevot in 120 years. Ubevaday efshar haya liskor poalim. If he couldn't do it on his own, definitely could hire workers to help him out. His children would help him out in the construction of these multiple tevot that would be necessary. So what's going on here? Just to avoid this burden from Noach, was it worth it to cause him the agony of not being able to have children until 500 years? He was barren for 500 years just in order to save him the work of building many tevot that he could have had a lot of help in building anyway. How does this make sense? These are valid, you know, questions here. We find by Avram Avinu, when he still did not have any children, and Hashem comes to him in prophecy and he tells him, Al tira Avram, Avram, don't worry, you're great, your reward is great. Amar lefanav, what did Avram tell Hashem in Parshat Lech Lecha? Hashem Eloki, mati tenli, ve'anochi olech hariri. Hashem, what do you mean my reward is great? What can you give me? I don't have children. I'm going barren. Klomar, ha'itachen latet me'uma le'adam she'olech hariri, which means, what can you give a person who has the sadness, the pain of having no children? Ve'advarim amurim af klape avtacha gedola kazo. Imagine, Avraham Avinu responded to a wonderful promise that Hashem gave him. To be barren from children, af Yerushalayim bechorbananim shel Elisha kara. Even Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim, when it was destroyed, was compared to a woman who is barren, who doesn't have children, as it says in the Tefillah of Nachem that we say on the day of Tisha B'Av in the Amidah, vehi yoshevet verosha chafui keisha akara shelo yalada. You see, Chazal built upon the psukim in Yeshaya Nundalet, found no other perfect description to describe the destroyed Yerushalayim other than Isha Akara Shelo Yalada. So that's a great suffering, not to have children. V'haya Noach Olech Akar 500 Shana. So here we have Hashem causing Noach to be barren for 500 years. Kol Kach Lama? Why? V'chde Shelo Yutal Alav Me'at Torah. So that he won't have to burden himself with building some extra Tevot. Atmeah. It's a wonder, big question. So this midrash, Eno Omer Ela Dorsheni, right? This midrash is asking for a drash, is asking to be sought out and to be understood. And here we're going to enter into a world of a tremendous yesod, a fundamental principle which shows us something very powerful about all of us. Human beings and Bifrat Am HaKodesh. Uleman havin et advarim tzerchimanu levayr yesod gadol anir elanu min haTorah umidivrei Chazal. In order to understand this midrash, we have to first explain a very big principle in the Torah that we can find in the Chumash and in the words of Chazal, in the Tanakh as well. Ve'elisha katuv. We find in Sefer Melachim Bet Perek Daled in regards to the Navi Elisha ben Shaphat. It says there, Vayomer legechazi, chagor motnecha vekach mishanti biyadecha velech, vesamta mishanti al pene hanar. Elisha was in the process of triyat hametim, of helping out a woman who lost her son, and he was going to perform the miracle of resurrecting him, of Triyat HaMetim. That's something that Elisha HaNavi did more than once, as recorded in Sefer Melachim Bet. So now, Elisha had his shamash. His shamash was called Gehazi. Gehazi was not the biggest tzaddik, you know, on the block, as we'll say. But he was the shamash of Gehazi. He had a lot of potential. Elisha tells Gehazi, gird yourself, put on your belt, get ready. Take my staff, take my mishenet, kach mishanti, in your hand, and go, and put my staff on the face of the boy. Place it on the boy. That's what Elisha told Gehazi. Yesh Levin, we need to understand, what is this witchcraft? What's going on here? Mahu hakoach sheyesh lamishenet leachayot et hanar? What's the power here in the mishenet, in the staff of Elisha, that will be able to resurrect the nar, the boy? Hare rak Elisha, rak leElisha natan Hashem et hakoach leachayot metim. Hashem gave the power of Tchiyat HaMetim to Elisha HaNavi himself, personally, who was a tremendous tzaddik. So what does it have to do with the staff? Once Elisha will command for Tchiyat HaMetim to take place, that will take place. Why is he telling Gehazi, take my mishenet and place it on the face of the boy? What's going on here? U'mize anu lemedim, we begin to learn from this, Kocho shel Adam, the power of a human being. Shebeyado lehachdir bevul etz domem, koach shel hachya'at metim. The human being has a power to infuse an inanimate piece of wood, to infuse it with the power of tchiyat metim, of giving life. A human being could do that. Ve'ona omnam, however, keshem shebiyad ha'adam la'asot ken, kach biyad ha'adam levatel koach zeh. Now, the other way is also true. Just like a human being has that power, and this idea will be developed soon, he also has the power to take it away, to remove this koach. Sheken Elisha natan koach tchiyat ha'metim b'mishenet, because in the ensuing story, Elisha was able to give the mishenet, the staff, that power. That power of the mishenet is not the mishenet. Mishenet means the stick, the staff that Elisha held when he would walk. So that became holy because of Elisha himself. The problem is, uba Gehazi ubitlo mimena. Gehazi, who wasn't on the same level as Elisha, when he took the mishenet, it lost its power. He diffused it from the koach that was infused into it by Elisha. V'chen amu Chazal, and that's what Chazal say as brought down in the Pirush of the Radak there in Melachim Bet, Perek Dalet. Gehazi haya davar kischok be'enav. Gehazi didn't take this issue so seriously. He took it lightly. V'chol adam she'a pogea bo ha'am daber imo ve'omer lo. And the Midrash tells us, anybody who met up with Gehazi on his way, so Gehazi was telling the person, you heard this? Hata'amin, ha'mateh hazeh mechayat ha'metim. You heard this? You heard what Elisha said? This mateh, this staff over here, is going to resurrect the dead. He made a light of it. Lefichach lo alta biyado, that's why it didn't work. Because he made letzanut, because he made a joke out of it, that's why it didn't work. Al yedea letzanut paka koach tchiyat ha'metim min ha'mishenet. Through the letzanut of Gehazi, the power that the mishenet had previously given to it by Elisha expired. It left the mishenet. That's one example. Another example. Bagmara Yoma daflamet chet amud alef, Ita. A story told to us in the time of Bet HaMikdash, in the Gemara Yoma Lamedchet, Keshealach Nikanor Lehavid Latot Me'Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. Nikanor, a Jew, who went, he wanted to dedicate the doors for the Bet HaMikdash. He wanted to make nice big gates, big doors for the Bet HaMikdash. And he went to Alexandria of Egypt to get those doors. B'chazerato, when he was on his way back with the doors on the ship from Egypt, Amad alav nachshol shebayam letov'o. The Gemara tells us a tornado took place in the middle of the ocean and it was going to sink the ship. Natlu achat mehen v'itilu al hayam. So the people on the ship took one of those doors, they were heavy, in order to save themselves, or at least desperately try to save themselves, they took one door and they threw it into the ocean. V'adayin lo nach hayam mizapo, and the ocean did not calm down yet. Bikshu le'atil et ha'acheret, they were about to take the second one and to dump it into the ocean as well. Amad hu ukiracha. Nicanor got up and he held on tight to it. He was hugging it. Amar lahem atiluni ima. He said, you're going to throw this into the ocean, throw me with it. Miyad nach hayam mizapo. Immediately the ocean calmed down. So now, ayam itzta'er al chaverta. Nicanor felt bad about the other door. It was thrown previously into the ocean and now, you know, you lost it. So he felt bad about it. Kivan shehigia lenemala shel Akko, when they reached the seaport in the city of Akko of Eretz Yisrael, hayta mevatzbetzet veyotzah mitachat dofanei hasfina. The second door was coming up from under the ship, which means all along it was sailing with the ship. He didn't lose it. לפיכך כל השערים שהיו במקדש נשתנו להיות של זהב, חוץ משערי ניקנור מפני שנעשו בו ניסים. This was something that was commemorated for many generations in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Although they renovated all the doors in the Beit HaMikdash, eventually they made them with gold. But those two doors, שערי ניקנור, the doors of ניקנור, were left as is because of the miracles that took place with it. That's the Gemara in Yoma Lamed Chet. Fascinating. We learn from here the following. Mesirut nafsho shel Nicanor natnat koach b'sharim sheyatzufu benes al pnei hamayim. What was the zechut that the door floated, kept on floating in the water and kept on and survived and went on with the ship? It was the mesirut nefesh of Nicanor that infused the she'arim with koach of a miracle. V'yelavu et ha'sfina limchoz chevtzat, to cause it to accompany the sfina, the ship, to its destination. Keshem she'al yedei mesirut ha'nefesh shel Nicanor nachaya mizapo, just like the mesirut nefesh of Nicanor caused the ocean to calm down. The mesirut nefesh, that he gave up his life. He said, you're going to throw the other door, throw me with it. For the doors of the Beit HaMikdash, that zechut, that power of Mesirut Nefesh, was absorbed in those doors. That's what we're learning here. That a zechut, a koach, a tzidkut, a shlemut, a midah of Mesirut Nefesh, can be absorbed into an inanimate item, into matter. By the way, he says, he won't get into it right here. Elsewhere he talks about it. It was also Mesirut Nefesh of Elisha and Eliyahu Anavi, which is what created the receptacle to receive Nevuah for Eliyahu Anavi and for Eliyahu Anavi to give over Nevuah to Elisha. It was specifically because of Mesirut Nefesh. Another example, umatzanu behar amoriyah shenitkadesh le'ol me'ad al yedei ha'akeda. There is one spot on this planet that was forever and ever sanctified and never lost its kedusha, and that is the spot atop the hill, atop the mountain called Har HaMoriah, the Temple Mount. Why? What happened there? V'yesh le'itbonen hare Har Sinai. Don't we have Mount Sinai? We have Har Sinai. Ooh. Af shenigla alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Get this. Amazing. Even though Hashem Himself revealed Himself on Har Sinai. You'd ask me, that should be the holiest spot in the world forever. Lo nitkadesh ledorot, but the kedusha did not stay there forever. Cholhu, you go today to the Sinai Desert, even if you know exactly what mountain it is, it's not holy. We don't regard Har Sinai as holy. It's a pasuk meforash. The Gemara speaks about it. Bimshoch hayovel hem mayalu bahar. Once they left, once the shofar was blown that the time is to leave Har Sinai, hem mayalu bahar. They had permission to go up if they would like to take one last peek on Har Sinai. They were allowed to then go, which we know they weren't allowed before because of its kedusha, which means that the kedusha left afterwards. Ukimo sheneimar, as the pasuk I just told you, bimshoch hayovel hem mayalu bahar. So what's the difference between Har Sinai and Har HaMoriah? Why Har HaMoriah is sanctified forever? That's the spot of the Beit HaMikdash. It never lost its Kedusha. It's what we're talking about. Shekivan shenatan Avraham Avinu alav shalom et kol libo b'maaseh ha'akedah. What took place there in Har HaMoriah at first, way back, over 4,000 years ago? The Mesirut Nefesh of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. That Avram Avinu was willing to give up his son for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Maaseh HaKedah. U'masar nafsho la'asot ratzon boro. He gave up his nefesh, his life, to fulfill the will of Hashem. Na'asal yedeze ha'har, that mountain, hadomem, an inanimate item in the world, a mountain, became what? Kodesh la'ad. Became infused forever with sanctity, with kedusha. Ve'amru Chazal, me'en example to what we just said. There's a midrash in Shir Hashirim on the pasuk Lereach Shemanecha Tovim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, kesherah et ha'even sheyashav aleha Rabbi Eliezer. When Rabbi Yeshua saw the stone upon which Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkenuz, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, would sit on to teach Torah, nishek ota. Rabbi Yeshua would kiss that stone. Ve'amar, he said, ha'even azot dome lehar Sinai. He said, this stone is like Har Sinai. Ve'ze sheyashav aleha, and the one who sat on it, dome le'aron haberit, is like the Aaron where the Luchot were. And therefore he kissed it. If you go today to a Har Sinai and you take a stone, you don't have to kiss it. As we just said, it doesn't have kedusha anymore. It's chol. And here, the stone that Rabbi Eliezer sat upon to teach Torah, he kissed it. He said it's like Har Sinai. It has kedusha. Har Sinai b'sha'ato. Ela sherabbi Eliezer be'et limudo ichnis sham et nafsho. Rabbi Eliezer, in the time when he learned Torah, he put all his nefesh into learning, into teaching Torah. And because he gave his nefesh, et kol kochotav, all his ramach evarim, all his energy, was exerted when he taught Torah, al yedei ken nit'ala ve'nitkadash ha'makom. He elevated, he uplifted the matter upon which he was sitting, the place where he was situated, lihiyot kehar Sinai v'sha'ato, to be as holy as Har Sinai in the time of Matan Torah. V'hareu kodesh kodashim la'ad, kamo Har HaMoriah, and it has kedusha forever like Har HaMoriah. This is unreal. It's unbelievable what we're learning here. And here's another example. V'inyan nifla bazeh matzanu b'parashat sota. In the topic of the Isha Sota, we find, she'ayu bodkim ota im hitme'a. We know that they would check the woman to see if she became tameh. Make no mistake about it. The procedure of how to check with the maim, with the water of the sota, this was miraculous. This was a miracle. It was not natural. Now, where did they get this water from? Into which the kohen would put the powder of the parashat sota, including Hashem's name, that he erased into, and would mix it up, and that's what would be given to her to drink, and that's how they would find out. Where did the water come from? Where was it supplied from? Minamayim shayu bakiyor hayta nezet. From the water of the kiyor, of the basin, of the sink, special sink that was in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Now Rashi tells us What's the reason the water of the sotah has to come from the kiyo? Shekatav v'tam adavar, he explained, Haya Moshe mo'es bahen b'mar'ot ha-tzove'ot mipene she'asuyim le'etzer hara. As you know, what was the kiyo, this special water basin, what was it made from? From the mar'ot ha-tzove'ot, from the mirrors of the women of Am Yisrael. They came and they donated their mirrors for the Mishkan, as it states in Parashat Pikudeh. That's called Mar'ot HaTzov'ot. So Moshe Rabbeinu at first, he hesitated to take them. The mirrors, maybe it's not so proper. You know, that's where they beautify themselves for their husbands. I had to use this in the Mishkan, I'm not so sure about it, Moshe Rabbeinu said. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, Kabel, take them. Ki elu chavivim alai min hakol. They are more precious to me than anything, Hashem said. She'al yedehem e'emidu anashim tzevaot rabot b'mitzrayim. It was with these mirrors that the mothers of Am Yisrael raised many, many families, large families in Mitzrayim with Mesirut Nefesh. V'na'asa ha'kiyor mehem. So the kiyor in the Beit HaMikdash was made from those mirrors. Shehu lasum shalom ben ish leishto. With that kiyor, one of the missions of that kiyor was to bring peace between husband and wife. Lehashkot mimayim shebetocho lemi shekineh labaala. To give from it the water to the sota woman in order to eventually bring back and build back that marriage between them. הרי שעל ידי כוונתם התאורה של אנשים לבנות את כלל ישראל ולפרוט ולרבות, we see from here, says Rav Chaim, that it was with the pure intent and thoughts of the women to build כלל ישראל, to be fruitful and to multiply, נכנס בכיור שנעשה מן המראות כוח נפלא זה. We see that the כיור was now infused with that energy of building Klal Yisrael, of building families of Am Yisrael. Shal yado bodkim et ha-sotah. So it's not by accident that it was with that kiyo that they would check the sotah. Vehu ha-mashkin shalom ben ish le-ishto, which would thereby bring about peace between husband and wife. So here's the punchline. Kama gadol hu ha-adam. How great is Adam? Who's Adam? That's us, Rabotai. Those who are lucky right now to hear this Sichat Musar. Kama gadol hu ha-adam she'al yedei taharat libo, with purity of the heart of the person, bekocho lakachat davar ma'us, he has the power to take something that at first is lowly, ulachnis bo kedusha korabah, to infuse it with so much kedusha, ad shehu na'asa chaviv min hakol, to the point where it could be the most precious thing in the eyes of Hashem, v'nitan bo hakoach lasum shalom ben ish l'ishto, with the power of bringing shalom ben ish l'ishto. Here's another example, Rabotai. I mean, we're taking a tour bus throughout the Torah here of examples of this wonderful and marvelous koach that a human being has with his mind, with his heart, with his dedication to take matter and to infuse it with energy of Kedusha, with real live energy of Kedusha. Bo ur'et shefa koach shenichnas bechomer al yedei ha-mesirut ve'ahava shemashkia bo adam. Let's come and see the shefa, the abundance of energy that one can bring into a chomer, into matter, through the mesirut nefesh and love that a person invests in it. Here's another example. Ketiv, it says in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph about Chana, the mother of Shmuel Anavi, when he was still a young boy, and he just was brought into the Mishkan to be to serve as an apprentice, as a starting up to learn to be tutored by Eli HaKohen under his tutelage. Ketivu me'il katon ta'aselo imo. a nice little cute pasuk. And his mother made for him a little coat. Can you imagine? Shmuelshkis. You know, little Shmuel, 2 years old, 3 years old. She made him a nice joma, you know, a nice kaftan, a nice me'il to wear. Ah, how nice, how cute. We look at that pasuk and it's nice. It's beautiful. Amru Chazal. Chazal tell us in the Midrash of Shmuel. It says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kavchet, 28 chapters later, Ish Zaken Ole Vehu Ote Me'il, was describing Shmuel with the same words, Me'il, that same coat. Shmuel was still wearing it 50 years later, when he was old. Ulehalan umer me'il katon ta'aselo imotana, ha-me'il bo gadal bo nikbar bo ala. That same me'il, that same coat that Chana made for him, he grew in it. He became elevated in it, and he was buried with it. Klomar, meaning, oto me'il shasta lo imo, haya olech ve'gadel imo kol yemei chayav, ve'af bemoto lo nifrat mimenu. That me'il that his mother made for him, Shmuel HaNavi grew with it all throughout the days of his life, and even when he passed away, he wasn't separated from it. Similar to what we find, Matzinu kinyan ze bedor ha-midbar, regarding the Jews in the Midbar, what does it say? Simlatecha lo baleta me'alecha. For 40 years in the Midbar, your clothing did not wither from you. It grew with you. It was a miracle, as we know. Right? You came out of Mitzrayim a size 40. Even when you became size 50, the same suit, wearing the same suit as you came from Mitzrayim. And maybe 50 is too harsh, but you get the point. Ela shesham ayu Yisrael tzachim likach. The only thing is, over there it was necessary. It was a nes, it was a miracle, clearly, but it was a necessary miracle. I mean, where they don't have suit central or whoever, you know, in the midbar, so they needed, you know, to have a suit. So Hashem performed that miracle. Ki minayin lahem gadim chadashim b'midbar. The question is, why was this miracle necessary for Shmuel HaNavi? Lama utzrach Shmuel HaNavi lenes ze? That the same coat that Chana, his mother, made for him when he was 5 years old, is the same coat that he grew with throughout his life, and even when he was a zaken, that's the same me'il. V'tzarich lomar, mechadesh Rabbi Chaim, he says, ki inyan gadol haya li Shmuel v'me'il zeh davka. Shmuel had a very big inyan with this me'il, with this coat. V'atam hu, and we could say based on the following reason that the Radak brings, hine piresh haradak al pasuk u'me'il katon ta'aseh lo imo, כאילו היה מן אגם להטות מעיל, אלא הגדולים, אבל לא הקטנים. Why did she make him a coat? Because these coats were normally worn by the older Talmidei Chachamim, by the rabbis. A five-year-old wearing a kapota, all of a sudden, with the two buttons in the back, with the two Rosh Hashiva buttons. It looks funny, 5 years old. But she loved him so much. מרוב אהבתה אותו, says Radak, עשתה לו מעיל. With all her love for her son Shmuel, and that was really the love for Hashem, when she dedicated her son for Hashem, that's how she sewed and tailored that me'il. Which means, et kol dim'otea utfiloteha, all her tears, all her prayers, Chana, the one who we learn how to pray from. Okay? Chana is the symbol of prayer. It's not by accident that Tachanun is the Shoresh Chana. We learn how to supplicate, how to pray. So all her prayers and all her tears, et kol ahavata, all her love, ve'et kol liba, all her heart, natna Chana ha-nevi'a be'me'il ze she'astalush. While she was making that me'il, all that sublime energy was entering that me'il, was entering that coat. ועל ידי כך הפך המעיל עצמו למקור שופע אהבה וחסד. רבותיי, are you listening? That me'il of Shmuel, that coat, became abundant with love and chesed. V'kivan shenitatef bo Shmuel, when Shmuel would wear that coat, nichnesa bo avat Yisrael ve'avat HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad en ketz, he would feel an overwhelming emotion of love for Klal Yisrael, of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to no end when he would wear that coat. V'yachad im ha'me'il gadal Shmuel v'Hashem imo. It was together with that coat and with the energy that it gave him that he grew. And he went, as we know, Shmuel HaNavi would tour all around Eretz Yisrael to teach Klal Yisrael Torah and to judge them, ulenahel otam bederech hayashar, to guide them on the path. Vehakol mimidat ahavat Yisrael shehayta bo, it was all from the midah of the love of Am Yisrael that he had. Ve'al yedei midah zo zachah shetishrei alav shechina, was specifically with this midah of Ahavat Yisrael that the Shechina never left him, that the level of prophecy was always with him. Al ken lo nifrat Shmuel min ha'me'il le'olam. He never wanted to take off that coat. That coat is what made him who he was. U'mishum ze na'asah lo nes shegadal ha'me'il imo ve'lo bala. And therefore that miracle was necessary. It was necessary. Hashem made a miracle that me'il grew with him. Because that was the source of all the kedusha that Shmuel was able to confer upon Klal Yisrael, because of the kedusha that Me'il was infused with from his mother, his holy mother Chana. Now another example: the inyan ze shenispag badome makoach shemashkia bo adam. Now we have to understand that it goes the other way also. Unfortunately, this yesod that we're learning, that a domim, that an inanimate object can absorb the energetic power of a person, is also true to the negative side. V'ainyan ilmad min hakatu. We could learn it, for example, from the following. It says at the end of Parashat Yitro, in regards to the halachot of building a mizbeach, it says, V'im mizbach avanim ta'aseli, lo tivne eten gazit. If you are going to make an altar, a mizbeach, out of stones, do not build them with stones that are chiseled out. That's called gazit. Lo tivne eten gazit. Ki charbecha inafta alea. Vatechalelea. Because chiseled means you cut them to size with iron, with steel, with a sword. And thereby you desecrated it. Hashem says, I don't want stones in the Mizbeach, that iron touched. I don't want it. Just natural stones. Chazal explained to us in Masechet Midot, Perek Gimel, HaMizbeach nivna leha'arich yamav shel adam. The Mizbeach's purpose was to give life to the person, to give him kapara, to give him life. VeHaBarzel lekatzer yamav shel adam. The barzel, the sword, is the exact opposite. En ze bedin, so it's not correct, sheyunaf hamekatzer al ha'ma'arich, that you should take that which takes away life, chas v'shalom, and lift it on the stone for the mizbeach that gives life. It's two opposites. They shouldn't mix. And Rashi says further, ve'od she'amizbeach matil shalom ben Yisrael aviyam shebashamayim. The purpose of the mizbeach is to bring peace between Am Yisrael and aviyam shebashamayim. Lefichach lo yavo alav koret umchabel. So a sword which kills, which cuts, should not come upon something that is supposed to bring about peace. L'chaura kashe. We have a question here. V'chi abarzel memit. What is it, the sword that kills? Is it the sword that kills? Hare ha'adam ha'ochez b'cherev hu ha'memit. It's the person who's holding on to the sword that kills. The sword is very innocent. You put it on the table, it doesn't move. Doesn't do anything. It's the human being that takes it and decides to use it. He's the one who's killing. He'ach kinu chazal et ha'barzel mekatzer o mechabel. So why do chazal call the sword a mekatzer, a life-shortening item? Or a mechabel, a murderous item. Elahu she'amarnu. Reb Chaim is saying his deep and profound answer here. Ki harotzeach ha'machazik u'mishtamesh ba'barzel. What happens is, a murderer, when he lifts up the sword and he uses it in order to kill, machdir et koach haretzicha letoch habarzel. He's infusing the barzel with koach, with energy of retzicha. V'nechshav barzel atzmo kim katzar yamav shel adam. So it comes out that the barzel itself, in itself, becomes a mekatzer yamav shel adam. Le'umat ha-mizbeach, ha-ma'arich yadav shel adam. The mizbeach, on the other hand, is a life giver. What do you mean the mizbeach is a life giver? The mizbeach is inanimate. It's stones. Shezgula zo natan bo ha-borei itbarach shemo liyot mizbeach kapara. Hashem gave the mizbeach, this segula, to be a mizbeach of atonement. V'harei ha-chet gorem le-mita. Now, sin causes death, as we know, from Parashat Bereshit. V'kivan shenitkaper la'adam, once the sin is atoned for, yamav mitarechin, life is given. V'eno bedin sheibaneh ha-mizbeach al yedei ha-barzel ha-mkatzer yamav shel adam. So therefore, it is inappropriate for the mizbeach that is a life giver to be built with a metal that is a life taker. She'im yibaneh al yedei barzel, because if you build it with the barzel, yigara mikolcho le'arich yamav shel adam. You're going to be taking away from the power of the mizbeach as a life giver. Amur Chazal tell us, "Bizman shebet hamikdash haya kayam, mizbeach mechaper al adam. Achshav she'en bet hamikdash kayam, shulchano shel adam mechaper alav." Chazal tell us in Menachot, also in Brachot, when the Bet HaMikdash was in existence, the Mizbeach was atoning for the person. Now that we don't have the Bet HaMikdash, what is the atoning agent? The Shulchan, the table of a person. Pirash Rashi, why the table? Yes, the dinner table. Why? She'noten pursa le'orchim. Because from that table, you give tzedakah. You give food to the poor. Shita mikubetzet sham gores shenoten pursa le'ani, either to guests in the Lashon of Rashi, or to the poor in the Lashon of the Shita mikubetzet. Ve'atosfot pirshu atam, ki gdola ligima shemekarevet et arechokim. Tosfot says also, because at that table, you're able to be mekarev, to bring closer people, aviyem shebashamayim. You know, you give people to eat, and you talk to them about Yahadut, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it sinks in better. It works with food. That's a big yesod. Maybe we'll talk about that a different time. It works with food. Gedola legima. How great is eating? Shemekarevet et arechokim. It has its power to bring back. So the table is mechaper al adam because of the achnasat orchim aspect that it has, or because of the tzedakah aspect that it has, or because of the kiruv rechokim zechut that it has. Says Rabbi Chaim, uleha'amur, based on what we just learned till now, en kan melitza. This is not some kind of, you know, mysterious or poetic idea. Ela kavanah kipshuto. It's in actuality. Hashulchan hu shemechaper. The shulchan is mechaper al adam. It's the table. The table with the four legs made out of wood. Or whatever it's made out of. After all those acts that we spoke about before, the tzedakah, the achnasat orchim, the kiruv rechokim, is it the table that does it? It's not the table, it's the bala bayit. But mikol makom me'achar she'al yedei ha'shulchan na'asim ma'aseh tzedakah v'chesed, but since it is through the table, by ways and means of the table, that this tzedakah v'chesed is being done, na'asa ha'shulchan atzmo le'mizbeach kapara. The shulchan itself becomes holy. And it is infused with the energy of kapara. Through the fact that it served as a ways and means, as a vehicle for chesed and for tzedakah, it became holy. What we're learning here, Rabotai, is that we change matter into energy of holiness. And this is not some kind of, you know, it is in actuality. We have to remember that. There's a lot to explain and to show and to demonstrate here. That's why we find many tzaddikim, they wanted to be buried with that which they learnt with, or that which they did which was their zechut in their life. And on and on. There's a lot to say on this. This is a topic that has a lot to develop. But But here we are being introduced to this idea from so many multiple areas in the Tanakh. So if you'll allow me a few more minutes just to finish, and I'll try to go as quick as I can here. It's chaval to stop in the middle here. Al pi ha'amur nachzor le'inyan shepatachnu bo. Remember, we began with a midrash, Noach and his ark. Remember? Ha'teva shenitztava Noach la'asot lo hayta mekom machseh mimei ha'mabul greda. Listen to the Yesod now that's going to help us to understand that Midrash. We look at the Teva of Noach as just a way how to be saved from the storm, to be saved from the flood. So you have a sheltered Teva, and now you're going to be saved. That's not what it was. Nir'eh she'aya alav livnot binyan shel hatzala. Listen to this profound idea. Hashem wanted him to build a structure of hatzalah, of salvation. A structure that has within it the segula lehatzil, to save. The hainu teva, meaning an ark, sheyehye tavua ba koach hatzalah v'yeshua. That in this ark, in the beams and planks of this teva, there should be infused an energy that brings about Hatzalah v'Yeshua, rescue and salvation. How do we build such an ark? How do we build such a teva? Ze al yedei sheyenoach osek v'toreach v'binyano 120 shana mitoch mesirut nefesh keneged rishei ador. That took 120 years of building the teva with mesirut nefesh, in standing up to the wicked people of the generation. You know, people ask, why do you need 120 years? Wasn't that a waste to build such a teva? You could do it in 1 year, even less. If you have a lot of workers, even less. 120 years, that sounds crazy. What did he put in one nail every week? What's the story here? How did that happen? Now we're learning the secret, Rabotai. It wasn't just build a teva in order to have shelter against the waters of the flood. No. This teva was a binyan shel hatzala v'yeshua, was supposed to be infused with a koach, as he'll soon explain. How was that? It was through the mesirut nefesh of every day going out there to work on the teva in the face of the wicked people of the generation who probably hollered at him all kinds of jokes and epithets and everything. What are you doing? What are you, crazy? He was telling them about this flood. Are you out of your mind? It took mesirut nefesh. It took devotion. Yachad mesirut nefesh hu yashkia b'teva kri'a u'drisha li'tshuva midarchei maraim. Also, during this mesirut nefesh of building, from the ladder upon which he was hammering in the nails, he was calling out to people and he was asking them to do teshuvah. He was giving lectures. He was giving sichot musar. Kol ze yikanes v'yachdor lateva. All that energy was going to go in and to be absorbed into this teva. Al yedei kach te'aseh ha'teva lemivtzar hatzala lenoach v'toreach. Only through that way will the teva become a place where they would actually be saved. Guess what he says? Not just for Noach and his family. It's an interesting thing. This teva had the power of hatzalah for Am Yisrael for many generations to come. Shekhen amu chazal, there's a midrash in Megillat Esther. Sheha'etz gavoa chamishim amah she'alav nitla haman. Guess what? Haya min ha'teva. Where did they get that beam that was 50 amot tall to hang upon it? Haman and his 10 children. You know where they found it? You know where it came from? It came from Tevat Noach. That's what the Midrash says. Koach gadol haya koach ha'atzala she'atavu haba. These planks were absorbed with the koach ha'atzala. They were submerged in that energy of Noach. She'etz echad mimena, one plank of that teva, shimesh le'atzalat klal Yisrael bimei Haman, was used for saving Am Yisrael in the days of Haman. V'kol zeh, now, to make this possible, you needed Noach to be the one who builds the teva. Imagine going over to a rabbi and telling him, listen, rabbi, we need to build a yeshiva. So he says, okay, would you like me to make some phone calls? No. We need you to build it. Yeah, I understand. I'll call up some guy. I know some people. I know a nice construction. No. We need you to close the Gemara and to go and you build it. Okay, I don't know. Do I have any help? No help. Only you. Could you imagine? Hashem tells Noach, Rak im yasok bikach Noach be'atzmo, only if Noach himself would build the teva. Ki rak Noach shematzachem b'nei Hashem le'atzilo mikol b'nei doro. Because unfortunately, that was the situation at the time. Noach was the only one that was motzechen b'nei Hashem from all the people of the generation. Only he yachol haya le'atbia b'teva zgulat Yeshua ve'atzala. He's the only one who had that power. Remember Elisha with his staff? He gave it over to Gehazi. Didn't work. Because Gehazi didn't have the same energy as Elisha. It was only with Noach that this teva was going to do anything. Umilevat Noach en acher asher yuchal livnot teva im koar ze. Nobody else was able to do it. Keshem she'en ha-mish'enet mesugeret le'achayot metim el al yedei kocho shel Elisha. Just like that staff did not have the power to be mechaye metim unless it was used by Elisha. V'zehu she'amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now we come to that midrash and we understand. Oh, im tzadikim hem atriach alav la'asot tevot arbe. Remember the question. Hashem said, if he's going to have a lot of children from the age of 100, so now I'm going to have to save all of them if they're tzadikim. But then I'm going to be matriach alav daika, hu velo acher. I'm going to have to force Noach himself to build many tevot. To build all these tevot, infused with that energy of Hatzalah, that already would be too much to expect Noach to be able to handle. After hearing and learning this idea, this concept, that even a domem, even an inanimate object, is able to absorb a koach nifla of mesirut nefesh. Alachat kama vechama how much more so she adam shegidluhu b'mesirut nefesh veishkiu bo ahava u'mesirut. Bevaday chadru v'nisbegu betocho kochot niflaim. If this is true about an inanimate object, how much more so a human being, into whom mesirut nefesh and love and all positive energies were invested into, how much more so is it true that he has become absorbed with all those wonderful kochot atzumim shel mesirut nefesh ve'avat azulat. He brings an example from Moshe Rabbeinu. Zehu ma shamu chazal, about Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Midrash, in the beginning of Vayikra Rabba, Eser shemot hayu lo leMoshe Rabbeinu. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names. And yet we call him only by one, Moshe. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, Chayecha mikol haShemot shenikva lecha, eni kore ela b'shem shekeratcha bitya bat paro, v'tikra shemo Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe, I know you have 10 names, but I want you to know, I'm only going to call you by the name that bitya, the daughter of paro, called you. She called him Moshe. U'bemakom acher amru, there's another midrash that says, from here you see the reward, the power of those who do chesed. Because from all the names that he had, the only name that was used was the name that Bitya Bat Paro gave him, Moshe, ki min ha-mayim meshitihu. Now, let's think about this, he says. Hine kol shem v'shem shenikra bo Moshe Rabbeinu, every name that Moshe Rabbeinu had, balevate ul-ta'er et ma'alato v'gadluto shel Moshe, had in it a very important connotation. It signified one aspect of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. For example, Yered was one of the names of Moshe Rabbeinu, shehorid et ha-Torah milemala lemata. He brought the Torah, Yered, lehorid. He brought the Torah from Shamayim to us. דבר אחר שהוריד את השכינה, he drew down the Shechina to the world. Avigdor was also one of the 10 names of Moshe Rabbeinu. Avihem shel godrim, goder, a person who makes takanot, a person who's able to bring guidance to the world. Avihem, he was the first and foremost. Chever, shechiber et Yisrael avihem shebashamayim. He attached Am Yisrael with Hashem. Chever, chibur, attachment. Avi Socho was another name. Avihem shel nevi'im shesochim beruach hakodesh. Socho means to gaze in ruach hakodesh. He was Avihem shel hanevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first and foremost Navi. So kol echad mishemotav mematze tzad acher migadluto. So each one of his names expressed one aspect of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ukedei le'akif et ru ma'alat Moshe Rabbeinu. So in order to encompass the entire gamut of the greatness of all the advantages of Moshe Rabbeinu, tzarich eser shemot, you need 10 names, right? Amazing. Imagine, this person is so great, one name doesn't suffice. You need 10 names to describe him. Achre eze pele, but isn't this a wonder? Shemo Moshe, shenikravo b'kol ha-Torah, ma omer? What's the one name that's picked by Hashem to be the one name that is used in the entire Torah? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemo, vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemo. Why Moshe? So what's behind it? Ki min ha-mayim meshitihu. I drew him forth from the water. Meshitihu. I drew him from the water. That's why he's called Moshe. U'ma gdula yesh bekach. It seems like compared to the other names that, you know, signified his great qualities, what was the quality here about Moshe? What? He didn't do anything. He was a baby. He was taken out of the water. Yes, this does remind us of the greatness of Bitya, the daughter of Paro, that she was able to sacrifice herself to go against the decree of her own father, the king, and to save this Hebrew baby. But what does it have to do with the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu? Isn't the name describing the greatness of the person who is named by it? Elahen hen hadvarim. But now, Rabotai, we are able to understand. Mikoach mesirut nafsha shel bitya bat paro. It was with the koach of mesirut nefesh that bitya bat paro had at that time when she saved Moshe. Shehimreta et pi avia, that she went against the decree of her father. V'itzila et Moshe al af gezerat paro, and she saved Moshe despite the decree of Paro. U'mikoach gemilut ha-chesed shegamla imo begadela oto be'akrava b'mesirut, and that chesed that she did by bringing him up, kibel Moshe Rabbeinu el toch nafsho u'vsaro et ha-kochot halalu. Moshe Rabbeinu, his essence, his flesh, his body was infused with that koach of mesirut nefesh and gemilut chasadim. Ve'al yadam nit'ala ve'uchshar liyot go'alan u'moshiyam shel Yisrael. And only through those kochot was he able to be elevated to become the shepherd, the manhig, the leader of Am Yisrael. Ki be'akrava u'bimesirut nefesh nihel etzon yitro b'techila. What was it? What was his first act from which he became the leader? It was with leading the flock of Yitro, with Mesirut Nefesh, with love, with Rachmanut. Remember all the Midrashim. Ubeakrava b'Mesirut Nefesh Hoshia Chakach et Yisrael. And this was the trademark of Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave over his life to save Am Yisrael. Ben be'omdo lifnei Paro, ben be'aliyato l'marom. Whether it was when he stood in front of Paro to stand for Klal Yisrael, or when he would go up to Shamayim to pray for Klal Yisrael. כל 40 שנה שהיו במדבר היו חייו רצופים בהפקרת נפשו עבור ישראל. All the 40 years in the midbar was all 40 consecutive years of giving up his life for Am Yisrael. מסירות נפש תמידית עבור כל אחד ואחד מישראל. A מסירות נפש for each and every individual of the Jewish people, one of the Jewish people, ad la'amirat, to the point of saying, ve'im ayin mechenina misifrecha shel katavta. He was willing to be removed from any mention in the Torah just to save Am Yisrael. The epitome of mesirut nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Where did he get that from? It was absorbed into him from when he was a baby in that teva, in that little basket. Kol zot haya tavua benafsho v'itpater bo min hagar'in, from that seed of mezirut nefesh hishkia bo bitya bat paro bimshota oto min hamayim. That seed of mesirut nefesh, of chesed, was planted into him, was given over to him from Bitya, his mother. Al ken nikba bo Hashem Moshe yoter mikol eser hashemot shehayu lo. Therefore, the name Moshe stuck more than all the other 10. Ki shem ze mematze et gedulat Moshe Rabbeinu yoter mikol hashemot. Because this name encapsulates in it all his qualities, more than all the other names. This is the reward of Gomlei Chasadim. Shachesed sheosim osa perot. The sachar of the Gomel Chesed is that the Chesed that he does produces, it creates, it is enlivened in that item into which he invested his Chesed. That Chesed stays forever. So we learn here the Yesod, a tremendous principle, that a human being has the power to infuse matter with energy of Kedusha, and surely to infuse another human being with energy of Kedusha that lasts forever and ever, just like the place of Har HaMoriah, just like the coat of Shmuel, just like the Mish'enet of Elisha, and all the other wonderful and beautiful examples that we learned about, just like the Tevat Noach that we learned about in this beautiful Sicha. So,